Current State on WKAR, your weekly roundup of all things Capital Region and across the Great Lakes, across our entire state. I'm Peter Wharf. Coming up, we'll talk about being a tourist in your own town. A little bit of sports history comes to the stage, labor history in Lansing, and a Lansing spot that's for the birds, all about the birds. Hear the sound of hundreds of birds. You don't want to miss that coming up on Current State. June is known as LGBT Pride Month around the world. It honors the 1969 Stonewall riots in New York City, which changed the trajectory of the gay civil rights movement in the U.S. WKAR News Director Reginald Hardwick is here now with a guest to talk about what Pride Month means here in our area.
Mid-Michigan has a long history in the push for equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. In 1972, East Lansing became the first city in the country to ban discrimination in hiring practices based on sexual orientation. That was before larger cities like New York and San Francisco enacted similar policies. Now, 42 Michigan cities have non-discrimination ordinances. In 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage. Joining us this morning is Steph White, Executive Director of Equality Michigan, which advocates for LGBT inclusion in laws and policies throughout Michigan. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you were to give Michigan a grade for how LGBT people are treated, what would that be and why?
I guess I would have to give it a solid C. On the one hand, there's been a lot of progress, but on the other hand, there's still too much pushback, too much violence and discrimination. Our state, you know, is one of about 30 states around the country that have not yet enacted non-discrimination laws statewide, and that's a problem for our community. For all the states in the country that don't have statewide protections, Michigan has the most local protections. We actually have 42 cities now since you looked at your list. Jackson, not too long ago, the city of Jackson added themselves.
The U.S. now has marriage equality,
right?
And gays can serve openly in the military. But what is left to do?
There's life is much better. You can't deny it, right? There are LGBT people who are elected to office openly. There are LGBT people who are captains of industry, corporate leaders. You know, we're on TV and, you know, in the public life. So, you know, we're very visible, and for many people, they go about their lives without too much discrimination. But that's only like part of the story. Some of the most recent research shows that day in and day out, there are plenty of gay and trans people who still experience horrific levels of violence and discrimination and are really shut out of the American promise and the American dream because they can't find work, they're denied housing, or simply can't move through society because they get kicked out of restaurants or denied service at various places. So, you know, there's still far too much discrimination, far too much violence, particularly for trans women of color who face exponentially high rates of violence beyond any other demographic in American society.
Equality Michigan just released a survey about transgender people here in Michigan. What were some of the biggest points?
Well, so the survey was done by the National Center for Transgender Equality. It was a national survey. And here in Michigan, our breakout was we saw about almost 900 Michiganders answered the survey. And some of the most shocking results are that you see a quarter of the people who answered the survey, people who are trans-identified Michiganders, were denied a job simply for who they are. And as a result, 30% of trans people live in poverty, which is more than twice the national average. So you can see discrimination happens, and it has serious impact for those individuals, but this also has serious impact on our state. I mean, even more shocking numbers are more than half of the kids experienced harassment and bullying in schools. As many as 80% said they had received some negative pushback in schools. I think 20% of the respondents were homeless in the past year because of their gender identity, simply for who they are. I know that Equality Michigan, we have a client we've talked to who lives downriver and who had been kicked out of and chased out of basically through harassment of three different places to live. And she was trying to find a place to rent where she could be safe and secure. So when you're facing that kind of daily assault, it's hard to maintain a job. You know, it's hard to be a productive member of society, and that hurts, and that's unfair to those people who face that. But it's also, you know, hurts our whole state. It's not really who we are as a state. We're not really living up to our core values of fairness and equality for everybody, and judging people based on the skills that they bring. And so we still have a lot of work to do.
What can be done either through legislation or through community awareness?
Yeah, Equality Michigan is really attacking this problem from every conceivable angle. We do a lot of public education, like the press conferences to release the results of the trans discrimination survey so we can increase the general public's education and awareness. We also do a lot of training on LGBT cultural competency for businesses and for social service agencies and governments. People call us all the time and ask us to train them. So we're doing this public education element. We're working on the local level, as I mentioned, with all of these cities, municipalities that want to pass their own non-discrimination laws. At the state level, just this week, Senator Rebecca Warren and Representative John Hoadley introduced a pair of bills in each chamber to expand discrimination protections at our state level. So our Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act says you can't be discriminated against in areas of public accommodation, housing, or employment based on a lot of criteria, sex and race and religion, etc. It doesn't yet include gay and trans people. So Representative Hoadley and Senator Warren introduced a bill to expand the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity so that we are all covered.
And you have a degree from Texas Christian University. You've lived all around. You were a commander in the Army, and you worked in Washington, D.C. When and why did you come to Michigan?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get to come to Michigan actually in 2002. I was hired to run a campaign to protect the non-discrimination ordinance in the city of Ypsilanti. So the city of Ypsilanti had passed a non-discrimination ordinance, and some outsiders collected petitions to try to challenge that law. And I was lucky enough to be hired by the local folks to come in and help them win and preserve those protections. And we did win, and it was great, and the community was amazing. In the meantime, when I was here working on that campaign, I really fell in love with the state. I was surprised. I hadn't been here before. I met a lot of great people, including my current wife, and I just fell in love with the place and started building roots here. We moved to D.C. for about 6 years, but we knew we always wanted to come back to Michigan. Michigan is home. It's where our family and friends are, and working at the state level is just something that's, you can actually see tangible results of your efforts. You know, Washington, D.C. is a challenging place. When you make change, it's big change, but it takes a lot of time. And thankfully, I'm not there this year.
From a personal experience, how has your life as a member of the LGBT community changed?
So when I was in high school in the 1980s, I was living in the suburbs of Kansas and raised by some conservative, Republican, Christian parents. Who were conservative, but are very, you know, respectful of individuals. And so, thankfully, I didn't face a lot of overt discrimination, but enough discrimination existed around me to keep me in the closet. And I actually joined the Army before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it was so revolutionary when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was passed. I really felt a burden lifted that I could, like, at least I had to stay in the closet, but I could keep serving, which sounds terrible now when you think about it. Living in the closet is a terrible, you know, way to live. So when I look back at how far I've come through my life, it's really remarkable. You have to appreciate the distance that we've come. Here I am, you know, in a, you know, purple state, living very openly and very proud of this community and how much people come together and step up and speak out and live our lives. You know, that makes such a huge difference in people's understanding of who we are and therefore their acceptance.
I want to mention also that Saturday, June 17th, there will be a Pride March at noon from Dado Riverfront Park to the steps of the state capitol, followed by street party in Old Town. What is the significance of Pride festivals?
So for those of us who live our lives pretty comfortably and openly, these festivals have taken, for some people, it's really taken on an air of just a kind of a reunion. you know, and that has a purpose. What's really interesting to me is obviously when the very first Gay Pride celebration happened in New York City, it was an anniversary of an uprising, a pushback, an assertion that we will not be closeted anymore. We will not be subjected to violence and harassment that LGBT people faced all the time. And so what started out as such an incredible show of defiance and bravery to be out and proud and visible, it's now become for some folks, it is kind of a homecoming celebration. Let's all come together and see our friends we haven't seen. For companies, they now use it to signal their support for our community, to say, you know, we're open and open to business for everyone. Politicians now show up to show their support for our community. So it has a much more kind of safe air to it. For me, I think it's important for us to continually come back together and remember how far we've come and to gain the strength that we get from that sense of community to be able to go back out and address the fights that we have to come.
Overall, what do you want people to know about the community?
Here in Michigan, I think one of the coolest things about our LGBT community is that it's so broad across the state. I know we often think about the big cities and the liberal bastions, you know, like Ann Arbor and Detroit, sure. But there are LGBT people in every corner of our state. Owosso has a wonderful PFLAG meeting that meets once a month that includes LGBT people and their family members. And that's, you know, a small town in mid-Michigan, Midland, Bay City. There's a huge LGBT community up there. And the nice thing is that, you know, we all are working together to pull towards doing the education and the engagement that we need to make our state live up to its core values of, you know, judging one another based on who we are rather than or based on our contributions to society rather than who we are or who we love.
Thank you for joining us, Steph White, Executive Director of Equality Michigan.
Thank you, Reginald.
For WKAR News, I'm Reginald Hardwick.
We have links to Equality Michigan and information about the Michigan Pride activities on June 17th at WKAR.org. Also, tune into WKAR-TV on Monday, June 19th at 10 p.m. PBS will debut the film Real Boy. The film follows the journey of trans teen Bennett as he navigates adolescence, sobriety, and the physical and emotional ramifications of his changing gender identity.